then. All right, if you will, turn tonight, Matthew chapter 20. And I started preaching on this subject over in the jail several weeks ago, and I hadn't been able to get away from it. I think I've preached on it about every Monday night for a while, and I've had it on my mind. And when Dilbert asked me to preach, this was the first thing that came to mind, and I've prayed about it. So I hope tonight it'll be a blessing to you. And if you're here and you've never been saved, I hope more than anything else, before you get out of here, you'll get saved. But let's have a word of prayer before we start. Father, thank you again for this time. I pray now, Father, the Holy Ghost will move up and down these aisles. He'll convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Lord, put your finger on anything in our lives that's not pleasing to you. God, if there's somebody lost, God, convict them. Show them their need of Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I pray more than anything else that Jesus Christ will be exalted, lifted up. Lord, give us a glimpse of him we haven't seen in a while. Glorify him tonight. And Lord, I pray now, if there's any way you can work it out, you'll come today. We long to see you face to face. We look forward to the day when we'll stand in your presence. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you'll have your way. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the words that I need to speak. You know what our hearts are, what we need to hear. I pray you'll meet the need of every individual, and I pray you'll do it for your glory. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 20. And let's begin reading in verse 30. And behold, two blind men, sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So we have this account here in Matthew's account. There are two blind men. If you read Mark's account in Mark chapter 10, he singles out one fella, names him Bartimaeus. And you read Luke's account of this same thing. He mentions two men, but you learn a few details in each account that you don't see in the other. And they supplement each other. There's no contradiction. But what this pictures in this passage is an unsaved individual who's blind spiritually and begging for the world's crumbs. And somehow, when Jesus passes by, the lights come on and he begins to see things the way they really are. Now, I don't know if you've been there. I have. But I'm preaching tonight on the subject, when Jesus passes by. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. I might jump over this pulpit if I'm able. I preached over here in the jail the first time, and it just came. I mean, it wasn't anything I'd really even studied on. And it got so good, you've never been in a cell block with a bunch of jailbirds that are shouting and ready to take running fits. But if you haven't, it's quite an experience. But the Lord blessed and got involved, and I'll tell you, it's blessed my heart personally, so I hope it'll encourage you. But now notice, when Jesus passes by, first of all, the darkness has to flee. When Jesus had compassion on these men, he touched their eyes, and their eyes received sight. And I know this from experience. Once you've stepped into the light, you can never go back to the darkness the way it was before. And what we have a lot of people today that I believe they've never been converted. I believe they're in darkness, and they talk about light. They talk about religion. They talk about Jesus Christ, but they have no desire in their heart to serve him. There's never been a real change in their life. And I promise you, you cannot come in personal contact with a living God and not be changed. When Jesus passes by, people are changed and lives are never the same. Once you've stepped out of darkness into light, you can't ever go back to seeing things the way you used to see them before. That's why I got no use for this liquor crowd. I'm telling you, this thing has come up again. 37 years ago, I stepped out of darkness into the marvelous light.
I can't look at liquor like I ever did before. Before God saved me, I drank plenty of it. Not proud of it, but I tried everything the world had. But when I got saved, I got out of darkness. I got into light. I got plugged into something real. That living water that satisfies that thirsty soul. Hey, once you've got a taste of the living water, you no longer will be satisfied with the devil's slop. Amen. That's all that stuff is. You pardon me. I may just take a running fit. I'll be like Paul. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. I get a little excited. Don't be scared. I'm harmless. But Jesus Christ, when he passes by, the darkness just has to flee. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Hey, I stepped into that light. I know what he's talking about when I read that. You pardon? Oh, it's good to be saved tonight. Well, I'll tell you, we walked in darkness. We lived after the course of the world. Some of us worse than others. But there's one door and one way. And if you're saved tonight, you got saved just like I did. I'm glad tonight he came to save sinners. I'm glad it's good for the crippled, blind, crazy, the sick, lame, and the lazy. Amen. I'm glad it's good for the red man, the black man, the white man. I'm glad it's good for doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs. I'm glad it's good for welders, for taxi drivers. I'm glad it's good for poor people, rich people. I'm glad it's good for anybody in between. I'm glad tonight there's one way. Hey, there's no respecter of persons with God. He'll save that bum in the street just like he would Obama in the White House. Amen. Amen. Well, that's something to pray about, ain't it? When Jesus passes by, the darkness has to flee. He called this man out of darkness. I'll tell you what this man needed. Actually, two of them, but Bartimaeus in particular. He didn't need religion. He didn't need to get baptized in water. No, sir. He didn't need to join a church at that particular time. He didn't need to be pointed to a watchtower. You beware of any man that'll point you to anything before he points you to Jesus Christ. What he needed was to see. Amen. And this Bible says the lost, they're without God, they're without Christ, they're without hope. They're alone in this world, they're lost. They need to see. And you and I got the light. Oh, listen. If you know Jesus Christ, it ought to be a privilege to share him with somebody else. You ought to be able to call your co-workers off to the side and lead them to Jesus Christ. I'm no more perfect than anybody else. I miss a lot of opportunities. But I've taken some too. I can name you of at least four men that I took off an assembly line and into a private room and led them to Jesus Christ at work. Hey, it works. I can name you some fellows that are preaching today that I led to Christ at work. One fella got saved sitting on a fork truck. Imagine that. I've missed a lot of opportunities, but I've took some. And this Bible says, if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. When Jesus passes by, the darkness has to flee. Boy, I'm telling you, what the world needs is some light. Deborah preached not long ago about just shining some light in the darkness. Boy, I tell you, it works, don't it? I mean, really. This world is hungering and thirsting after something, and you and I got it. We need to let them know what it is. They need to see the light of Jesus Christ in you and I. Do you know what's amazing to me? With all the junk that I've got in my head running around, I was telling my wife, I said, my sister's got Alzheimer's, my mother had it, I've got two uncles that had it. I hope I don't catch it, because I know what's in my head, and I know what came out of them when they got in that shape. And it scares me to think, man, after all these years of preaching, that kind of nonsense would come out of me. You never know what they're liable to say and do. I mean, really, my mother, all the years I knew my mother, I never heard her handle a curse word. And when she got that stuff, man, she would curse like any sailor. I don't know where it came from. That's a scary thought.
But you know, I've seen all kinds of corruption, and
I mean, I guarantee you, if you've watched TV this week, you've seen all kinds of wicked stuff and murders and mayhem and people blown up and shot and killed and God knows what. You just imagine these blind men, the first thing they ever saw was Jesus Christ.
Well, you talk about a privilege.
Well, one of these days, I'm going to get rid of me. I've had people try to dress me down and straighten me out and tell me where I'm wrong and how I need to do this and that better. You know what? I'm 60 years old. I've lived with me for a long time. I know my faults. I don't need you to point them out. I don't like me any better than a lot of other folks don't like me. That's the truth, man. I know where I'm wrong. I know the stuff in me. But boy, I know this. For the last 37 years, I've been on a ride. Well, I tell you what, preaching in the street and the jails all these years, and just, I mean, we just had us a time. It ain't nothing like all this junk the world builds up. Boy, I mean, if you're going to party down and just get drunk and get doped up, boy, just live. I ain't living, man. That's dying. That's just death. And these blind men, I mean, the first thing they ever saw was Jesus Christ, and He called them out of darkness, just like He did you and I. This Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Boy, isn't it marvelous tonight to walk in the light? Well, I tell you, I got saved, I'd never read a Bible to speak of. I had no idea what was in this thing. I got saved, man, I couldn't put it down. I've sat up all night reading this book and go to work the next day and work all day and not be tired. I can't explain that. God did that. But I mean, I just couldn't put it down. This thing was alive. That's what it says. It's quick. It's powerful. And the more you get exposed to it, the more, I mean, the light comes on and you begin to see things the way the Lord looks at them. And you begin to look at them the way the Lord looks at them. And you no longer can see them the way the world sees them. You wonder why these people out here got these screwball ideas. That's why. I mean, they ain't walking in the light. Amen. I mean, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Boy, isn't that true? Yes. I mean, we have to walk in the light if we're going to have fellowship with one another. Boy, that's an amazing thing. It's so simple and yet so hard. It's hard to do, isn't it? I know how it goes. You're raising a family and you go to work and you got all this stuff going on and they schedule all the ball games at the worst time. I mean, you hate not to go. Your kids, I mean, but you got to work and you got to go to the ball games. You got to go to practice and you're just running constantly in circles. I mean, I've been there. And then, blam. After a while, you think, man, I ain't read. I ain't prayed. And you walk right by, have many opportunities to witness, and you, man, I should have said something to that guy, you know. And that's the way it goes. But boy, still, if you're in the light, it still ain't nothing like being in the dark. I can't imagine these guys were blind and suddenly they could see. Well, you talk about a trip. But I mean, that's the way we were spiritually. We were blind. We couldn't see the things of God. Hey, only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal this stuff to you. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I had a guy over at the jail one night. He said, I've been reading my Bible. I just can't understand it. And he asked me a question. I explained it to him. He said, well, why can't I see it? And I just turned over 1 Corinthians 2 and read it to him. I said, that's why you can't see it. You got to get saved, man. You got to have the Spirit of God to instruct you on the Word of God. But when Jesus passes by, boy, I'll tell you, the darkness has to flee. One night, old Paul and Silas had just got the fire beat out of them, put in jail. I'd imagine they was out in the street preaching, and here was a demon-possessed woman, and a fortune teller, and she could really tell your fortune. I mean, she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And Paul cast the demon out of her, and when they saw that she no longer had the gift, they got mad. And they beat him up and put him in jail. And the jailer had him in maximum security. And old Paul and Silas got to praying and singing praises to God, and the Lord sent an earthquake, and the door shook open on that thing. Man, I'm telling you, you just imagine, when all the doors shook open and every man's bands were loose, the jailer, supposing the birds had flew the coop, he was just going to kill himself. And Paul said, do thyself no harm, we're all here.
And the jailer came in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And a fellow in the next cell stuck his head around the corner and said, "You can't just be saved anytime you want to." And Paul said, "John Calvin, shut up." He said this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of men and after the traditions of the world and not after Christ." And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And that old boy got right in his whole house because he believed. This blind man, Bartimaeus, and the other fellow that's not named, these blind men received their sight, the Bible says, because of their faith. They believed that Jesus Christ could really do something about their situation. If you're sitting in here tonight, I don't care what your problem is, I know somebody that can do something about your situation. I don't care if you got family problems. I don't care if you got financial problems. I don't care if you got health problems. I don't care what your problems are. There is a living God that's able to do something in your situation. The problem Israel had, Jeremiah said, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken God, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." They thought the world was the answer. They thought liquor by the drink was the salvation of their county. They thought the world's methods and the world's means would solve all of their problems. And what they needed was to get their heart right with the living God and trust Him to take care of them. 37 years ago, I came to an old-fashioned altar. I wasn't depending on religion. I wasn't depending on myself. I'd broke all the commandments and probably some that hadn't been wrote. I was wicked as the devil himself. I was sick of sin. I was sick of myself. I was as miserable as a poisoned dog. But I knelt in that altar, and by faith, like that blind man, I cried out to Jesus Christ for mercy. Hey, and I found out He's still in the life-changing business. And there ain't no shortage of power today. But I'm telling you now, whatever you have need of, He's got the answer. Will you trust Him? It's up to you. Well, I tell you, I've been happy as a dead pig in the sun for 37 years. That's a fact. I mean, no, it don't matter how bad it gets. I've still enjoyed life much better than before I was saved. I don't have to do anything illegal, immoral, or fattening to enjoy myself. I do a lot of fattening stuff. I think that's probably obvious, but I love ice cream. I could eat a gallon right now. I love it. I probably shouldn't, but I like it. But you think about it. When Jesus passes by, the darkness has to flee. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, according to Colossians chapter 1. No longer are we of the darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now I'll try to shorten this down some. I could preach all night. I just have me a time. I mean, you know how it goes. You get a preacher in a crowd, they can't shut up. I mean, most of my crowd is a, you know, captive audience. They can't get out. I go in the jailhouse, man, I can preach as long as I want. There ain't nothing they can do about it. When Jesus passes by, notice secondly, mercy is dispensed. I mean, the darkness has to flee. Mercy is dispensed. When this man heard that Jesus passed by, he began to cry out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. Have mercy on me." That's where it's at. Well, when a soul turns to Jesus Christ, you talk about the bells of heaven ringing. I mean, according to Luke chapter 15, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Isn't that something? Well, you want to create a stir in heaven, lead somebody to Christ and see what happens. I think it was Bob Jones Sr. used to say that God would put the angels on half rations to feed a soul winner. I believe that. But I believe if you're concerned about the lost and you're after them, you're trying to win them, God's going to take care of you. You can't outgive Him. But David said this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And mercy is dispensed when Jesus passes by. This beggar called out sincerely, "Oh Lord, have mercy."
He was serious. He meant business. Brother, I tell you, that's what it takes. When I came to Jesus Christ, I came sincerely. And this nonsense that you can't just get saved anytime you want to. Well, listen, if you can't get saved when you want to, when are you going to get saved? That's just a crazy statement. It makes no sense. And so when the Lord convicted me of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, I knew that I was bankrupt. I knew I had nothing. I was done. And I just threw myself on the mercy of the court. I read about a fellow one time back years ago before there were cameras. He hired a painter to paint his picture, his portrait. So the fellow comes in and he labors, and this guy's the model sitting there, you know, with his stone face, and he paints this thing. When he finally gets finished, then he lets the guy look at it. And the fellow looks at it, and oh, he's mad. He says, "Man, you didn't do me justice." He said, "Man, you don't need justice. You need mercy." Amen. Well, that's the truth. I mean, really, it don't matter. You can be the best-looking thing in the world. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, why, man, some of the sorriest things that ever pulled on a skirt make 7 or 8 figures or more. I mean, you look at this Hollywood crowd. I mean, they hold them up like they're some great something. And I'm telling you, I mean, it's just a whole lot of trash. And they may make the money. A lot of these sports heroes that we brag on and a lot of these young people want to pattern their life after, I mean, they're just bums. One thing I like about Tim Tebow, besides the fact he played for Florida, is the fact that bird's kept his testimony in spite of everything. In spite of fame, fortune, and money, and the whole works, that bird has kept his testimony. And that says to me, he got something. He got something real. Mercy is dispensed. This beggar calls sincerely. He calls pitifully, "Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Boy, I've heard those pitiful cries. About 2 weeks ago, I was over here preaching in the jail, and I got done, gave the invitation, and the fellow stood up. He'd been sitting in the floor. He was about 50 men in a little room. I was standing right in the middle of the room. You can't turn around. And he's sitting in the floor, and when I got done, gave the invitation, he stood up, and he said, "Sir, will you help me get saved?" And boy, I tell you, it wasn't just a minute. We knelt over in the corner and laid a Bible out, and I went through the scriptures with him, and that old boy wept his way to Calvary and got up from there, man, and we had us a time. Man, he was hugging everybody. He was hugging the jailers, and he was just having him a time, man. He said, "I've been wanting to get saved for a long time." Amen. Boy, that's where it's at. When Jesus passes by, don't miss it. If you're sitting here tonight and you've never been saved, don't let him pass by. We sing that hymn. It's still in the songbook. We don't sing it very often. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Boy, I remember when I first got saved, they'd sing that song. I was saved, but every time they'd sing it, I'd get down the aisle to the altar. I was scared to death. The Lord going to pass me by and not let me get in on this thing. I mean, I didn't know what God had in store for me. If he hadn't called me to preach, I'd preach anyhow. I mean, I just wanted to get involved. I wanted to do something. I mean, I started going in beer joints and passing out gospel tracts and preaching. I didn't have any idea God would call me to preach. Me and Don Cook started walking up and down the street and passing out tracts and witnessing to people. And we just out in the street preaching, had no idea what we was doing. I didn't. But man, it was just too good to keep to yourself. I thought, good night, boy. I mean, this thing is real. And this world needs it. I had a lot of friends that needed it, man. I witnessed this one guy, man, he was a drunk and a dopehead. I used to be just like him. And man, finally one day I came in his shop and I'd witnessed this guy and witnessed to him and I couldn't get anywhere. And finally one day I walked in and as soon as I come through the door, he said, "Hey, come back here." And I thought, "Hey, here we go again." We used to argue, man. And he's a pretty rough character. He'd like to fight and carry on. I thought, well, who knows? He'd like to put the fist to me. I was trying to figure out how I was going to handle this. Guy hit me. I didn't know whether I was allowed to hit him back or not. He called me in his office, shut the door, and he went around to the desk and pulled out an old King James Bible, opened that thing up and threw it down on the table and said, "All right, preacher, preach to me." That old boy got saved, I'm telling you, and it probably wasn't a month after that. He was dead and gone. Well, you just imagine. You never know what God's up to. But when Jesus passes, don't miss it. Don't miss it, man. Whatever he's got for me, I want it. I want all of it. I don't want to miss out. I don't want him to pass by because I'm carnal and living after the world and the flesh. And no, I don't want to miss. I don't. I know me. I am carnal sometimes. I am fleshy sometimes. I am in a place where God really can't do much with me, and I have to repent of it. Well, I don't want to miss out. If God's got something for me, I want it. I told them guys at work, I said, I ain't a millionaire because God knows what I'd do with it if I had it. But I pray for it. Lord, give me $1 million. I'd hate to get to heaven and the Lord say, I had $1 million up here for you and I didn't give it to you because you didn't ask for it. And it says you have not because you asked not. Of course, you read the next verse, you'll get the explanation. But well, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Man, I can laugh. I can rejoice. I told them guys in the jail, I said, man, I can tell more jokes than you guys can, and they're clean. Amen. I told them about the Baptist preacher that dropped his false teeth down the well, and they lowered a drumstick down, and they snapped on. They pulled him out. They felt that was pretty cool. I said, man, that's how you know you called to preach. You like chicken. But I mean, I can enjoy life. I don't have to go around with a face long enough to put a bridle on. I mean, if you've had to bury a loved one this week, maybe you don't feel much like shouting. If your family's tore up and separated, maybe you don't feel much like shouting tonight. But I know this, you get on a good praise binge and you put Jesus Christ in the right place and you lift him up, you'd be surprised how those troubles seem to fade away. I was reading about a pastor one time in, I think it was New York, and it was a real bad part of town where he was at, but there was another part that was a lot worse. And a lady from his congregation came to him, and she had real problems. But she began to complain and tell him all his trouble. And he asked her, he said, all right, before we go any further, he said, I need you to go down here to this street, to this house, and visit down there. And then when you come back, then we'll discuss it. And he sent her down to a worse part of town than where he was. And she goes down and goes around that block to that house, and she sees all this poverty and misery and all the suffering and that was going on. And when she came back, she walked through the door and she said, preacher, I was having problems. And she went home. And boy, I'll tell you, you can always find somebody in worse shape than you're in. That's the truth. I don't care how bad it gets. Say, somebody got it worse than you. So Jesus passes by. Lives are changed. Things are never the same. Well, man, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout. You ever watch their broadcast on Channel 5, man? You couldn't run a Mississippi squirrel through there and get a shout out of that crowd. Now, I'm only joking. I ain't got nothing against the Presbyterians personally. Well, what's wrong with getting excited once in a while? Why, really, some of you ladies, I guarantee you, you raise your hand at your husband every now and then. You ought to raise it down here at the church. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. Your favorite team scores. You get excited. We all do. I mean, really. I was watching a game the other night, and it wasn't even my favorite team. But, man, when something good happens, man, you get excited. You just about run the field with them. I mean, I remember one time a guy, his son was playing, and that bird used to run more yards on the sideline. He'd get outside the fence, and every time something would happen, he'd run down here, then he'd run back. He'd gain more yardage outside the fence than they were gaining on the field. But he would really get into it. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. I like it. But you know, we ought to really get into Jesus Christ that way. He ought to be in our thoughts. He ought to be in our conversation. He ought to be in our actions. He really should. When Jesus passes by, mercy is dispensed. This beggar called properly. He said, Lord. He is the Lord, incidentally. We come to him, we ought to come respectfully. A person comes for salvation, they ought not come, you know, their chest thrown out like they're... No, sir. They ought to come respectfully, realizing they're a sinner, and he's a perfect, sinless Savior, and he has power to put them in the lake of fire. They ought to come with the right attitude. Lord. Amen. Don't just dress up the hog pen. I tell these jailbirds, man, don't be like the prodigal son when he got in the hog pen. Don't just stay in the hog pen. Now, thank God he came to himself and got out.
But how many people wind up in the hog pen instead of getting out and doing what they ought to do and going back to the Father and admitting they were wrong and getting it right? What they do is they just set up shop. They get them a sofa and a lampstand and hang up some curtains and they decorate the hog pen. I mean, you think about it. It don't matter how you decorate it, it's still a hog pen. Get out of it. Get back to the Father. Get cleaned up. That's the way to do it. Really, I mean, it works. The grass is always greener over the septic tank. Wasn't that the truth? We look, boy, she's good looking. Well, I wish my wife looked like that. Boy, I'd like to have her. Grass is always greener over the septic tank. If you got a good husband or a good wife, thank God for them and be scriptural about it and carry on. Amen. I promise you, you'll be glad. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. That's the way to handle it. It works. Believe it or not, God's plan is still the best plan. Barak bin Laden ain't got it. He's proved that for the last 4 years. He ain't got it. Now, I don't care whether you're a Democrat or it don't matter to me what party you vote for. That's your business. I'm just telling you, it don't work. You can't put a socialist running a capitalistic system. It don't work. They're contrary. I love you. Ain't no need getting mad. I ain't going to go in the voting booth with you and see who you vote for. Lord will, though. Eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A mother came to Napoleon, asked for a pardon for her son. The emperor said, "This is his second offense, and justice demands death." And the mother said to Napoleon, "I plead for mercy." And Napoleon said, "He does not deserve mercy." And the mother said, "If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." And Napoleon said, "Okay, in that case, I'll pardon him," and turned him loose. And you and I didn't want justice. We needed mercy. Had we got what we got coming to us, we'd all be in a lake of fire tonight. Thank God for mercy. When Jesus passes by, mercy is dispensed. Notice thirdly, when Jesus passes by, compassion is displayed. Jesus saw these men in this condition and he had compassion on them. I'm glad, thank God, he always did have compassion on the lowly in heart. Boy, thank God he came into this world to save sinners. That's me. That's you and all of our kin folks too. But I'll tell you how it went. One day you was down in a pit and you couldn't get out. And no way to get out. I mean, we're all in a pit of sin with no way to get out. And you were down in here and you were stuck in the mud, in the mire, and you were looking up, and about that time, a fella came by named Buddha. And he looked down and you said, "Man, can you help me get out of this pit?" And he said, "Well, think good thoughts, and when you get to the end of your life, try to work out your own salvation." And he walked on by. Well, that ain't no good advice if you're stuck in a pit. And so a little while later, there was another fella came by, had his diaper on his head. He was leading a camel. He wasn't riding it. But I said to him, "Sir, can you help me get out of here?" He said, "Man, go on a jihad. Kill some of these infidels and you'll get to paradise." That ain't going to help me get out of this pit. I'm stuck in a pit. Amen. And another fellow came by, had a half a grapefruit on his head. And I said, "Sir, can you help me get out of here?" And he said, "Well, you need to take the mass and find the church that Christ founded and join it and get confirmed." And I said, "Man, I need to get out of this pit. I'm stuck down here." And he went on by. And a few minutes later, there came this fellow by, dragging a cross, and this fellow looked like he was beat entirely to death with blood all over him and just running all over him, a crown of thorns and I mean just beaten beyond recognition. And I said, "Sir, you think you can help me get out of this pit?" I mean you look at the situation, you think, how in the world can this guy help me? And he said, "Sure,
Do you really want to get out of this pit? I said, you better believe I want to get out of this pit. I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of being stuck in this mire. I want out of this pit. And about that time, he jumped down in there with me, and he just carried me right up out of there by his power. And thank God he set my feet on a solid rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And thank God tonight I'm different. I'm saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I talk different. I walk different. I am different. It's all because of Jesus Christ. Amen. You pardon me tonight. He is alive. Our God. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And we got something to shout about.
Amen. When Jesus passes by, compassion is displayed. He'll comfort the blind begging sinner. Just imagine a guy, his whole future, all it is sitting by the road begging. He's completely dependent on somebody else. I mean, there's nothing else he can do. And suddenly, the light comes on. I can't imagine. Old Bartimaeus, the Bible says, he threw cast away his garments. Oh, listen, the Lord will clothe you with a robe of righteousness that's fit for the vestibule of heaven. Amen. You can't get in any other way. He's the door. Only by Him can you enter in and be saved and go in and out and find pasture and live in that abundant life. The only way. If you try to climb any other way, you're a thief and a robber. When Jesus passes by, lives are changed, I'm telling you. People are never the same. George Whitfield was preaching in Philadelphia at the courthouse. He was up on the balcony, and I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people in the street listening. And that bird, they tell me, could be heard for a mile away. And he had no megaphone or magnifier. I mean, he just, God blessed him with a voice. And that bird was preaching. And right in the middle of the message, Whitfield stopped and lifted his eyes to heaven and cried out, "Father, do you have any Episcopalians up there?" And he answered, "No." And he said, "Father, do you have any Presbyterians up there?" And he said, "No." He said, "Father, do you have any Methodists up there?" And he said, "No." He said, "Father, do you have any Baptists up there?" And he said, "No." He said, "Well, who do you have up there?" And he said, "It's only sinners cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, the Lamb of God."
Amen.
Amen. I'm a Baptist because of doctrine. But I wasn't anything when I got saved but just a wicked sinner that ought to have been in hell. Amen. Boy, that's the truth. When Jesus passes by, compassion is displayed. I want to say fourthly, when Jesus passes by, sinners are healed. Now you pardon me, I'm going to read this, and it may bore you to tears, but I'm going to read it anyhow. What this fellow needed, blind and begging, was a touch of the Master's hand. And some of you tonight may just need the very thing. I'm about done. Just bear with me a couple of more minutes and I'll shut up. But it goes like this. This is my favorite. I mean, this is my life story. And I appreciate my good friend and his wife, Jack and Beth. They made me a nice plaque and framed it and put this poem in it. And I got it on my wall near my desk. It means a lot to me. But this says this. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer scarcely thought it was worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. 'What am I bidding, good folks?' he cried. 'Who'll start the bidding for me?' 1 dollar, 1 dollar. Then 2, only 2. Who'll make it 3? 3 once, 3 twice, going for 3. But no, from the back, an old gray-haired old man came forward, and he picked up the bow, and wiping the dust from the old violin, tightening the loose strings, he played a melody
that was sweet as a caroling angel sang. The music ceased. The auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidding for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. "1,000, 2,000, two who will make it three, 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone," said he. And the people cheered, and some of them cried, "We don't understand what changed the worth." Quick came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune and scarred and battered with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. Going once, going twice, he's going and he's almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by a touch of the master's hand. Well, I'll tell you, when Jesus passes by, lives are changed. Men are never the same. I don't care where you've been. It's irrelevant. The question is, where are you at? Well, I'll tell you, the best is yet to come for God's people. Now, I've lived a sorry life, and I'm ashamed of that. I ain't been much since God saved me, but whatever I am, I'm His. As Bobby Utley preached here one time, I may be a dog, but I'm His dog. Amen. When Jesus passes by, the sinners are healed. They get a change of garments. And last of all, there's immediate results. Immediately, they receive sight. Salvation is instantaneous. When you come to Jesus Christ with a repentant heart, by faith, receiving Jesus Christ, the Lord will save you immediately. He'll save you any place, anywhere, anytime. I don't care what anybody says. It's irrelevant to me. I mean, all this false doctrine that floats around this county about how you just can't get saved anytime you want. I mean, that stuff comes from a Calvinistic theology that's permeated this county for years. I've preached against it. I've fought against it. I'll continue to do it as long as I got breath. But I guarantee you this, when you as a sinner come to Jesus Christ and turn to Him, He's standing with open arms, just like the father of the prodigal son. He's looking for you to come home. Now let me ask you, are you coming tonight? If you've never been saved, why don't you come to this altar here just in a few minutes? We'll have an invitation. If you don't understand, we'd be glad to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We wouldn't base it on anything less than the eternal Word of God. Yeah. And there's no doubt about it. Yeah. If you're saved, and I mean, whatever your problem, whatever your need, if you'll come to this altar, I promise you, God's got the answer. Yes, the living God is real. I'm glad He is. Will you bow your heads? I'm going to have somebody to come. We're going to have an invitation. I won't drag this out. But I will say this, if you have a need, just in a moment after I pray, I'm going to ask you to stand. And when you stand, if you need to come to the altar, just come on. Don't wait. Don't look around to see what somebody else is going to do. If you've never been saved, grab one of us. Grab me or one of these other fellows here. We'll be glad to take a Bible, explain it to you, pray with you. We'll do whatever we can do to help you. But don't leave here. Don't let Jesus pass by and you miss out. If you're not sure, if you're saved and you're troubled about you need to be doing something for God, pray about it. I promise you, He wants you to know. He didn't save us just to walk around. We're in the light. He wants you to know what His will is for your life. And if you'll come, I promise you, you'll find an answer. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. Pray now the Holy Spirit will be our guide, our teacher, our instructor, convict, reprove, edify, strengthen, God, whatever's needed. Save the lost. Reclaim those that are contrary. Lord, you know our hearts and what we have need of. And I pray tonight you'll meet that need. I pray you'll do it for your glory. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?